Okay, this is Whitney Gaskell interviewing Don Erickson, or Dan Ryan, about North Hill, childhood in the North Hills. So, Dan, when and where were you born?
Missoula, Montana, St. Patrick's Hospital, yeah, 1946.
Mm-hmm. So, what did your parents do for a living? Did you grow up on this property here?
Right, but my grandparents owned what used to be called the Ritchie Place, and part of this place now is part of that. It was a bigger ranch that run from the airport up to where we're sitting now. Mm. And this is kind of the last of the of what's of that ranch. My dad bought the property in the early 40s. It's two parcels of ground. The one we're sitting on, it's 157. That was my father's, after it's been chunked away. And then the 360 above us, which borders Carlson's and Spurlock's, was part of the original ranch.
Mm-hmm. And so your grandparents, were they original or descendants of original homesteaders, or who did they buy their land from?
No, they bought it from they came from Minnesota to work on the dam at Kerr Dam or whatever. But I think they bought their place in 41 or 42, right before the war.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a fairly big place, but it was milk cows, chickens, turkeys, the whole nine yards. And then my dad bought his place and when he and my mother got married, and then we were raised on his place, which is North Hills.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the North Hills here that we adjoin and is part of our property now was the horse pasture for the ranch.
Oh.
We used to have probably 100 horses that both saddle stock and work stock when I was a kid. So in 56, I think my grandmother died, and then the place was divided up then.
Between your father's siblings?
My mother's siblings.
Your mother's siblings.
Right. No, my father... their place was farther up Grand Creek. It's there's a meadow up there on the Grand Creek Ranch called the Ryan Meadow.
Oh.
And the school that's at Fort Missoula, the Grand Creek School, was right in the corner of their place.
Hmm.
So I guess we've got some connection with Grand Creek. But being a kid here, that's... You just lived. You did your chores and rode your saddle horse around the mountains, and it was just, childhood was childhood, did the farm work.
Mm-hmm. So when you are now mostly with sheep, your father and your grandfather was a cattle ranch. And mm-hmm. When did you switch over to sheep?
25 years ago.
Mm.
I got tired of big animals.
Yeah.
So, and actually, there's more money in sheep per animal unit than cattle. So, they're just easier. I like the animals, and
mm-hmm.
they're funky little animals to be around.
So, how many siblings did you have growing up?
I had three. One died early. I have two left. And one lives on the place, and the other one lives in Arlene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but see, this was a big family neighborhood. I mean, my uncle lived on part of the old ranch. He had 13 kids. My aunt and uncle lived on another piece of it, and they had six or seven kids.
Oh, wow.
So you had your own playmates, yeah, in the 50s and stuff, they start putting in roads, and you had gravel pits with lots of water to play in. And you used the whole creek drainage as your playground. So it was, you know, pretty wide open spaces then.
Mm-hmm. What would you do in the drainages?
Well, we'd build rafts that would fall apart about halfway across the gravel pit. I mean, it's...
That you would to go on?
Right. It's a wonder we didn't kill ourselves. You know, just whatever. Whatever we could do to entertain ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, and we always had livestock, so, you know, if Mom and Dad were gone, you could run something in the corral and try to rope it. Or try to ride it, or, you know, and quit crying before they come home.
So, your grandparents, let me get this straight, on your mother's side came from Minnesota to work on the Kerr Dam?
Yeah, the dam up by Pablo, whatever.
Okay.
How'd
they get into ranching?
Well, they had a stock farm in Minnesota, and when the Depression hit, kaboom, you know, I mean, that threw a lot of people out of everything. And so, you know, they loaded up the Model T and come west out of the motherland, and, you know, ended up here, and they had a place at Charlo, and then one at St. Ignatius, and then moved down here to Missoula in the 40s. You know, I mean, once you're a farmer, you're a farmer. I mean, you don't have any choice. You know?
What about on your father's side of the family? They lived up in Grand Creek.
Right.
How'd they come to Montana?
Well, out of Iowa. You know, everybody came from the Midwest. I mean, that's, you know, and it was a smaller place, and it was a family place, but my grandfather run the place, and the place wasn't big enough to, he worked out for Anaconda Company in the woods, and every fall his siblings would come to check over the books and get their share of the place. Well, I mean, half of nothing is nothing, you know, so they ended up selling the place, and he moved over to North Avenue, but that was about the same time my dad bought this place.
Mm-hmm. Were they the Richies?
No.
Your grandparents? It just was called the Richie place?
Right. No, my grandparents were Wheelers.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, they were, you know, we were just here, you know, so we knew the Spurlocks, and we knew the Carlsons, and the other neighbor was Charlie Quas, put together the Grand Creek Ranch. But see, that took up all the little places, the Toners, the Ryans, and he put that together in the 30s and 40s. So. Well.
Mm-hmm. So, who lives on your property now, or who lives here now with you? Working with the sheep. Do you have siblings that still live up here? Or?
Well, I have one that works here, but I mean, lives here, but the livestock are my thing.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother is still alive. I leased the place from her.
Oh.
And I have the management of the livestock and the land until she goes to deal the land, and then I would imagine that there will be some real changes.
Yeah. Does she live in that white house down there?
No, that's that house come off of Spurgeon Road.
Oh.
We moved that up here for my brother.
Oh.
And she lives in the log house.
Okay.
And then the first house you come to is my wife's office.
Oh, okay. Cool. What were your chores? You mentioned your chores when you were a kid. What were they?
Feeding those friggin' chickens. It's just that kind of stuff, you know. And when we were real small, there was like when you're putting in the crops and stuff, there'd be, you know, you didn't have the big machinery you have now, so you had a lot of little machinery, but you'd cook for, you know, 16, 18 people. You know, you get done with breakfast and you'd start lunch. And, you know, it's just a lot of housework, a lot of packing wood, getting water, that kind of stuff that builds character.
So what were you guys eating? Can you describe kind of the food? Did you get up early and eat the big breakfast and was it dinner and supper?
We weren't lunch and dinner type crowd. Yeah, I mean, it was just, you know, the high cholesterol, high fat, you know, kill a beef and eat it up in the fall. They'd kill, you know, 7-8 pigs. And I mean, it was just, you know, you didn't think anything of it because you were working it off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, so it was, but I mean, the wood stove was going forever, you know, that North Arthur Godfrey in the background on the radio. So.
Who's Arthur Godfrey?
He had a radio show, the McGuire Sisters, variety radio, you know, just like Ed Sullivan, only on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So, I remember growing up, I mean, that was just, you were either underfoot and kicked outside, or you were packing water, or go check the chickens, or go do something, you know. So.
Mm-hmm. Did you all eat together?
Mm-hmm. Great big table. Oh, wow. But the kids ate at one table, and the grown-ups ate at another one. You know?
Beyond chores, what kinds of things did you do with your parents?
So, I don't know. They were, you know, you always went to county fairs, and when you'd go to town, there used to be a little trading post out on Highway 10, you know, and they had the bear in the cage, and you'd poke him with a stick, you know, just that kind of stuff, you know. And, you know, it was just life, you know. You just baby chickens in the spring and, you know, big animals in the fall, you know. Life just went on. And then the place got split up in the 50s, like I say, and, you know, things changed, and
mm-hmm.
they'll change again, so.
So those animals, did you ever grow fond of them, or did you have specific memories, favorite animals, or things you really liked?
No, I think foreign kids know what animals are about, and if it wasn't for farmers, these animals wouldn't exist. So, you know, I hear this crap about the short life, and, you know, that, you know, you're killing the young at 8-10 months, whatever, but if it wasn't for the farmer, they wouldn't be alive at all. So, yeah, no, I mean, certain parts of animal husbandry will bother you. I mean, mm-hmm. there's things that happen that, you know, birth defects, etc., that aren't nice. But, you know, if we weren't doing it, these guys wouldn't exist. So.
Right.
And if you believe in reincarnation, we're giving somebody else a chance with the wheel.
So, but you liked riding horses.
Yeah. Yeah. My dad was a horse person. I mean, Christ, horses all over. And horses are nice, but you don't make much money on them. I mean, they eat a lot, tramp down your place, and, you know, unless you're showing horses or have a real use to them before them, they're kind of a luxury item. Yeah, we don't have horses anymore, and I think we got rid of the last of them in the 70s. And, you know, I don't care if we have another one or not. I have llamas.
I noticed. What are your llamas for?
Well, they were supposed to be guard animals for the sheep, but unfortunately they like each other better than they like sheep, so they just stand in the corner and talk politics and religion. They're just here. Yeah, they're a strange animal. They were given to us, and I can understand why now. But they live 28 to 30 years. So once you get a llama, you're kind of locked in.
So what did you like to do when you had free time, if you ever had any?
Oh, I don't know. Missoula was a nice little town. I mean, they always had movies on Saturday afternoon, those serial movies and stuff like that. I mean, it wasn't like we were totally isolated out here or anything. We do swimming lessons in the summer and, we're just at our childhood wasn't much different than the kids on the north side, and a lot of the kids on the north side would come up into these north hills and build forts and, get away from, so you always saw people. And let's see, one of my favorite deals as a kid was, there's two characters that lived up the creek. One was a hermit and another one was a whiskey maker. When my uncle would take me up to visit them, that was fairly interesting, because the one guy lived in a dugout, just had a place dug into the side of the hill and logs and, pretty primitive.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other guy, Jim, lived where the creek forked, and, he had ducks and swans and geese and just all kinds of stuff, but he was had his little still in the back doing his thing.
Did you ever walk back into the rattlesnake or?
Yeah, we used to ride our horses over Spurlocks and look down on the rattlesnake and stuff like that, but no, they were the muckety mucks that lived in the rattlesnake. They had water and orchards. It was just, you didn't want to take your horse on the pavement and stuff. So we'd go over like the Sawmill Gulch or something like that, do mm-hmm. a day ride, pack a picnic, that kind of stuff, and a few sandwiches and
mm-hmm.
just fool around for a day or, just to get away from the place.
That sounds fun. What about on the farm? What were the places that you'd like to go on around the farm?
Well, it just
sounds like you used to have a lot of places.
Because we had a creek that runs through it. Before they did all this work, Grand Creek branched into three different little forks here, and one part of the ranch had basically wetlands. Cattails, frogs, that kind of stuff. That was fun. There was orchards all around. Down here at Ostergren's were big orchards. You'd put dams and irrigation creeks and make yourself a skating pond and that kind of stuff. Just whatever you wanted to do. Wintertime, a lot of sledding and, we used to get snow, so. It was, you always had something to do. If you got your chores and homework done, you were on your own. Why don't you shut that off a minute when she comes in?
Okay.
What I did as a kid.
Yeah.
To keep out of trouble.
Or get into trouble.
Right. Well, I was just, you'd go to your cousins or spend time up there, build forts, just kid stuff. BB gun fights.
Uh-oh.
just general stuff.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any specific stories or anything like that?
None that I could repeat.
and getting dragged to death by the horse.
Well, that was before my time, Karen. I mean,
what?
Yeah, I was just a toddler then, so.
Mm-hmm. What about you almost drowned in the creek?
Jesus, do you want to do this?
You can join us. Yeah, let's hear about that.
It was just, you know, we all had bicycles, and when we have high water, they were doing gravel mining around. You'd have edges that come right down along the creek where you'd have to have one pedal of your bicycle up, or else you'd end up in that high mm-hmm. water of the creek. And we'd set up an obstacle course, and you know, when you're a kid, you're invincible. I mean, as a parent, I would hate to see my kids doing that kind of stuff, but you know, mm-hmm. as a kid, it was a pretty good rush. You know? You almost went in, you know, but there'd be five or six of us, you know, and then we'd take turns until we were tired and then everybody go home.
Mm-hmm. So, did your family hunt and trap?
We hunted. Mm-hmm. Trapping, there wasn't much around here to trap. I mean, fish and hunt. And
do you fly fish?
Not anymore. I don't fish, period.
Mm-hmm. Did you, or did you spin fish when you were younger?
Worms and grasshoppers.
Yeah.
You know, flies when I probably got 13, 14. You know, and then the fish went away and the people came, so, you know, it's...
Robert used to run you out of the creek, didn't he? After he bought the
place? Well, yeah, but that didn't happen until 57.
Okay.
But, you know, he was the first land developer to come up here, Grand Creek Ranch, and then...
What was his name?
His name was Gary Marbot. It was his mother, Charlotte, that had the money, and they bought the place, and then they started chunking it up to, mm-hmm. you know, that's where Colorado Gulch and Prospect and all that was all part of that ranch. They were completely different. I mean, they were from Colorado, and they had already split a ranch there, so... They knew what they were doing. Gary is still lives in the Grand Creek area. So.
What creek would you play on up here? Grand Creek. Mm. Okay, sorry, I just wanted to clarify that. Where did you go to school?
I went to St. Francis Xavier.
Where was that?
It's on Pine Street. It's a Catholic school. Mm-hmm. And then I went to Loyola High School.
Okay. How'd you get there? What was school like? What was Catholic school like?
What are nuns like? You know, you don't know they have legs until you're 12. You know, you think they're Ottoman or roller skates under it. It was different. I mean, I'm not a practicing Catholic anymore, so that might tell you something about it. Good education, but you know, they really didn't want you to think until you got into high school. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was mostly by rote, you know, that you knew stuff, but you just had the crap memorized. You didn't get the theory behind it. So.
Mm. How'd you get to school?
Well, my mother would either take us or my aunt, or they'd take turns doing it, and for a while there was a lady from Evro that had her kids in this school, and she had a big station wagon, and she'd pick us up on the way through, and my parents they'd pay her so much to, you know, and we'd ride home with her, and she'd drop us off on the way back to Evro.
Mm-hmm.
See, the only way you could get downtown then was Broadway or Highway 10. You know, so it was a little different than jumping on the freeway. And
Mm-hmm. So you said you kind of already answered this, but did you go into town often? And what you mentioned going to movies.
Yeah, almost
every. What
other
kinds did you do?
Almost every Saturday. You know, you had your school functions, you know, those goddamn plays. And being a Catholic school, you had a lot of religious holidays to be part of. You know, singing in the choir and that kind of stuff. So, you know, just normal.
Yep.
Same thing you did.
Probably. So tell me about those holidays. How did you celebrate holidays with your family or at school?
Well, usually school would give you time off for good behavior. You know, so, you know, Christmas was Christmas. I mean, you'd have 2 weeks off or 2.5 weeks and just play outside and hope school never started again, you know. Open your gifts Christmas morning and, you know, hope you got what you wanted.
And then go milk the cows.
What were the kinds of, do you remember the kinds of things you used to, like, toys you really wanted or things you really wanted for Christmas or anything?
You know, Lincoln Log sets, Tinker Toys, you know, stuff that had a lot of parts. All the parts wouldn't be gone until June, you know, so. And then we got into 4-H and stuff like that at age 10, so that we were looking for animal care products and, you know, a new halter or, you know, something.
What did you do for 4-H? I heard a lot about it.
Beef, fat steer, and that's about all I did. Yeah, I think the first, you had to be 12 to do a beef project, so I think I did hogs for 2 years, and then the beef for the last.
And would you show those at the
county fair?
County fair, what was that like?
It was a pretty busy week. I mean, you'd weigh in at the fair. Would start on a Tuesday and end on Saturday, and you'd weigh in Monday evening or Monday afternoon, so it pretty well took care of a week. And you were there from, 7 in the morning until your folks found you at 11 at night, you know. So it was a lot of fun, and, you know, you'd show your animals and clean your deal, but, you know, that's take about 2 hours a day, and you had all that other time to explore and go to the horse races and commercial building. The fairs used to be a lot more farm orientated than they are now. I mean, that's, you know, I didn't see a hot tub at a fair until probably, 1970 or something. You know, it was the big new tractors and the, and see, Missoula used to have 3 or 4 equipment dealers, you know, that, you know, you had Case and John Deere and Ford. Well, now you have one. So they'd bring in all their new items just like it was on a, you know, they'd go from fair to fair with the new big tractors or, you know, so you had, it was a lot more farm orientated than it is now.
How was it different from when, was it like that when, like, say, your parents were growing up?
I have no idea. I think when, you know, there was a little hangover of what was happening pre-war as I was growing up, you know. I mean, you ever seen a sculpture out of butter? I mean, George Washington, that 6 foot tall, made out of,
movie
out there,
because
you keep banging it.
You done?
What about your parents? Did they, or your mom, did she go to Catholic school in Missoula?
No, yeah. See, she grew up in basically in Charlotte. So, you know, that was a little country school. And, you know, I don't know too much about that. I mean, my mother's a pretty private person, so.
What about beyond the, or maybe we can talk more about the fair, but do you remember any other local festivities or traditions, things like that?
The biggest one was probably in the 60s when they had the centennial. You know, they did a big passion play type deal the community did, and it was you know, it took them all summer to rehearse for it and do their parades and all that. That was, I think, in 62 or 64, I can't remember, but
the centennial of
statehood, I believe.
So what was the play?
Who knows? I mean, you just had 700 people in costume. I mean, you know, all the men in town grew beards for the centennial. I mean, it was...
Wow.
You know, if you went to town and didn't have a beard, you went to jail. And some, you know, one of those little community jails.
Uh-huh.
And then somebody had to bail you out, and that money went to the... putting the centennial on. And I mean, it was a year of nuts.
Oh my gosh.
You know, people would dress up like the 1800s, you know, like funny hats and shit like that. So
so what about your neighbors? Sounds like most of your neighbors were your cousins and aunts and uncles and whatnot, and you all worked together on the ranch. Is that kind of what it was like? Do you remember your other neighbors?
Yeah, Carlson's, I still know them. Archie and Walter, you know, they were right across the fence here. And the Spurlocks, you know, they were just there. They were just another...
Did you do things together or work on things together?
Not really, because we had such an extended family, you know. We were kind of a closed unit, you know what I mean? You have 20 cousins living within a mile of you.
Yeah.
You don't need a whole...
Yeah. Do you remember anything about the Randolphs? Did you know them at all?
I knew Bill Randolph later in life. I knew the people that rented the horse pasture from him and met him that way. My father knew him, and, you know, he was a fairly good friend of Bud Spurlock's, and I knew Bud fairly well. So, but, you know, as far as the day-to-day operation of his place, you had enough trouble running your own place without, you know, Montana's always been kind of private. I mean, it's just the way of the people that, you know, you take care of your own mess and hope it works out all right, you know. And if somebody asks you for help, you help them, but you don't stand across the fence and tell them how to do it. You know, it's just...
So how have the North Hills changed since you were growing up?
Jesus. Well, you got houses all over, but yeah, see, I don't know what you guys really consider the North Hills.
Well,
I mean, do you consider it from the Rattlesnake to Grand Creek? Do you consider it from Rattlesnake to Butler Creek? Or do you consider it Rattlesnake to the Y?
What do you consider the North Hills to be?
Well, yeah, I consider it all the way to the Y. You know, because, down where the rabbit warrens are, you know, that used to be all wheat fields.
Down where the what are?
The rabbit warrens, you know, those little houses that only have 8 foot between them. you know, that was all wheat fields. That was owned by the Goodens, you know, and he owned the hill up there where all the houses are now. Mike Flynn's owned Summer Pasture on that big hill that overlooks the airport. And Doherty's had a 1,200 acre summer pasture up there. So that whole area from actually, I would say from Butler Creek over was all part of it. I mean, it seems to me that they've kind of shrunk the North Hills into Rattlesnake to Grand Creek. So, I don't know. But it's all going to change.
So what was it like for you to watch that development go on in these areas, especially since your property is definitely bordering where most of the development?
More the merrier. you can rail against it all you want, but if you believe in private property rights and the thing that really gets me is these people move into an area and the first thing they do is complain about the roads, and they knew what the road was like when they drove up there to look at the place. And the attitude that gets me is, I got mine, shut off any further development. If it passes the smell test, where they have the infrastructure and the streets, the electricity, the water, and they're complying with all the rules, people have to live somewhere. Yeah, the thing that kind of gets me is people blame it on outsiders. It's all these outsiders moving. But if they sit down at their, Ma and Pa sits down at their Thanksgiving dinner, and they're in their 60s, and they look around at their kids, and they look over at the children's table, all of a sudden they're responsible for 25 or 30 people. So it's not just outsiders. I mean, it's the growth of the human population. So, it would be nice to live in a place with nobody else, if you so desire, but that's not the reality of the world anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, if it's planned development and it's done right, I have no problem with it. Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little ridiculous taking the best farmland you have first and developing when you have some real marginal land around it.
Mm-hmm.
But, if they want to buy their food from Argentina, so be it.
Mm-hmm. What do you... If you have any hopes for, what do you hope for your place in the future?
I'm not going to have a choice. It's the way it works is they appraise the place for best use, and then you get a tax bill. Mm-hmm. And if the place is just a subsistence farm where you barely make enough to live on, there's no way you can afford to keep it. If it's appraised for tract housing or appraised to what your neighbor got for a subdivision, you owe 50% of what the place is worth to the federal government and the state government for taxes. Well, you look for Mr. Developer that'll give you the appraised price, and you give half of it to the government and hope you have the other half enough to live on for, mm-hmm. And that's just the reality of it. So, you can do conservation easements and what have you, but, what good does it do? Unless you're mm-hmm. already set up,
Yeah, so are you hoping to sell this soon or someday?
Like I say, I don't have a choice. When she's the last of her generation, when she goes, you know, goes into probate. I mean, it's going to be the courts and the other heirs that tell you what's going on. I mean, you know, you might think you're God, but you're not. You know, you have some real reality that comes and bites you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so bye-bye sheep, you know.
Mm-hmm. What about Missoula? How is Missoula different?
Oh, it's same? Great. You know, it's when I was a kid growing up, you'd walk along the Wilma building, their sewage was going into the river. That's a wonderful park from the university down to the sawmill. Everybody whines about the planting, and you got to plant a tree here. It's a pretty nice little town to live in. Even the bureaucrats are nice. And you know, they try to work with you. I mean, it's not a big power trip. If you're screwing up, they'll let you know about it. But, you know, if you're minding your own business, you start burning tires in your front yard, somebody's going to say something. You know, but if you're using, you know, there's only one thing about Missoula that upsets me, and I shouldn't say it as a neighbor, but it's BFI.
Mm-hmm. We visited there.
Well, that's a regional land dump that's self-regulated, that's perched on the edge of your aquifer. It's stupid. You know, you're cleaning up the river, you're taking out the dam, getting a free-flowing river again. Yeah, you're making a mess up here that 100 years from now somebody's going to have to deal with. And it wouldn't be bad if it was just your own garbage. But when they start hauling the crap in from Sandpoint, Idaho, and I don't care how careful they are, liners leak. I mean,
yeah.
And shit goes downhill. So, you know, they're making a mess there. And they would like to have Carlson's place and our place and have a hell of a dump. And they say, well, you know, once we're done and have it reclaimed, it'll be open space. It'll be open space with a methane gas field sitting under it. You know, so that's... And I think people are, you know, they're whining about a peace sign on private property in the North Hills and how unnatural that is for the view shed. Well, look at that fake mountain of garbage they got.
Yeah.
You know, so that's about the only thing that upsets me here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the big box stores and stuff, if you want to shop there, nobody's making you. You know, you can go downtown. It's, you know, so the more the merrier.
Yeah. So when you were a kid, what did you want to do? Did you want to end up staying on the farm like you have, or?
I don't know. I wanted to marry a beautiful woman and be happy. And I did.
Sounds good. Well, is there anything else you can, no. Any other stories, anything you can remember?
Not really, but if you kind of want somebody that has the history of this and stuff, it's a guy by the name of Ed Gallagher. He's done a lot of research, and he married one of my cousins.
Mm-hmm.
He was down here in the 50s and stuff. He lives up at Elberton.
Mm. But he used to live here?
Yeah. Yeah, they had a place here, and right here in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
They were here for a long time. But he's more of a historian, and he did track down some of the stories. And
oh, do you think he'd be interested in talking to me?
I would imagine. I wouldn't know really how to get in touch with him.
Yeah, I'll give him Casey's number.
Casey? Daughter. Oh, okay. You have it?
I think so. She did change her number.
But he started... he was really involved in getting the museum going out at the fort at the start, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he figured every piece of junk that was in the valley should end up out there, you know. But he's done
real articulate.
Right, and he's done a lot of.
He's your source.
A lot of photographs, and he's a good photographer. And
cool.
But you're focusing on just Grand Creek?
North Hills. But she doesn't know where the North Hills are.
Who does, yeah.
Was that it for the...
It's kind of a new name.